Matthew 24, 1 to 14. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see it to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come."
Thank you, Alistair, very much indeed. I want to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some things are easy to talk about because we all know that when Easter comes, we have chocolate, and when Christmas comes, we have Christmas trees and presents. And it used to be that when Whitsun came, which was a celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was half term. Well, that's changed now, and Whitsun doesn't always equate with half term. But what about the second coming of the Lord? There doesn't seem to be any recognized festival of the church. So we've got to get this into our hearts and souls. It needs to be something that we can begin to get a handle on. And could I say before I go any further that the good news is it's already 20 past 10. So I'm not really going to get through much of it at all. But in John's Gospel, John 14, we're told that the opening verse is there. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me," Jesus says. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So as far as Jesus was concerned, this was a very personal thing for all of those who believed in him. It's not just something that's going to happen to another big known denomination. We're all going to be involved with the second coming. And it's going to, and when the Lord came, his first appearance as a suffering servant, when he returns, it will be as a conquering king to wind up everything that we know to be part of this world. And when Alistair was reading there from Matthew 24, and Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples and came to him to call to his attention to its buildings. And it's very easy for us, even as Bible-believing Christians, to look at the buildings and the structures that are around us and get confused, really, that our faith is dependent upon particular parts of a building. Is this place where the communion table is more holy than the back corner where the drafts come in and catch Nicola's left shoulder when she's doing the PA? Or is it more holy up there? It's not a question of buildings. Our faith is a question of a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Peter, who was always one to do inconvenient things at times, he says in it's there at the end of his second book, when is this going to be? And the Lord he says, well, the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day, and the Lord is not slow to keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we have a little bit of an indication of why the Lord doesn't wrap up all this nonsense that we're seeing at the moment. The war in Ukraine, the war in Gaza, the murders, the terrorism, the children who are being killed and maimed. Why, Lord, do you wait so long for all these horrors to be outworked? Wasn't the Holocaust bad enough in the Second World War? What about the war to finish all wars that we refer to as the First World War? Well, the Lord has his timings. And there is a time and a place, just as our families went to the Devon Christian camping extravaganza. There was a time for it, and before the storms come, there's a time to take down those tents, put them all away, put away the camping equipment and the cooking equipment, and to return home. And so it is with this world and our experience, that there will be a time when God wraps up all the things we know and call the present, and Jesus will come again. And people have said, well, will he come in secret? And will he come to a special set of people with particular knowledge and insights? And indeed, has he already come? And there have been certain sects who built their reason for existence on that. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are very keen on saying, well, our guy got this particular revelation, and it came in secret, and it's been revealed, or the Book of Mormon has a similar theme that, the Lord has already come, and because we just happen to hit lucky, we're the ones who've got the knowledge and the insight. Well, it's not quite like that, because the Bible says that everyone will be aware, every eye will see when the Lord returns. And the main thing is, from the scriptures, that it's not something that should wind us up, that should bring fear into our hearts, that should cause concern, because we can look into Matthew 25 and see that the Lord wants to explain these things a little bit to his hearers, and the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And so it is that the scripture encourages us to live lives worthy of the Son of God, who came and paid a price for us, who gave us his body and his blood, and encouraged us to do this until he comes. We won't always be taking communion, because there will be a time when the Lord returns. And it's always difficult to look into the future, because there are those who enjoy the things of trying to predict the future and when the Lord will return. And you come across all sorts of magazines and organizations who are into prophecy, and when the European Union was created, there were all sorts of prophecies about this must mean the impending return of the Lord, because there are however many nations there were, and you know, this is what the prophet says. Well, it's never been easy to predict God's timing, and it never will be, and be very careful not to get too wound up about it. We can get very theological and talk about premillennialism and amillennialism and postmillennialism. I have no idea what they mean, but there are those who are academic who feel that it makes sense to them. Seems to me that the Lord is going to come when, out of his grace and his mercy, he has given each one of us full opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. And that means the people in the current war zones, that means the people who are suffering all sorts of stuff that upsets us when we hear about it. But God in his heart realizes that this world is not for our abiding eternity. This world is where we do our camping, if you like. And just as camping in the summer with a large group can be really exciting, everybody on the camp in South Devon knew that it had to come to an end. They knew that they had to go back to their real lives. And so it is for us with our faith. We join together here regularly. We get to know each other. We take encouragement from each other. But in a sense, it's a bit like participating in the village shop, isn't it? We go in, we know that we can get certain things in our village, but when we want to do a really big shop, then we go to the shopping centre. It may be Cribbs Causeway, it may be somewhere else, because we know that there's just going to be so much more there. And so it is with our faith, that it's wonderful to worship together in our usual congregation, but there are different experiences that God has for us, and some of those experiences can be enjoyed. Those of us who are old enough to remember Billy Graham coming to the football ground, there were thousands there, and it's a different experience to be worshiping God with several thousand around you, all singing and standing and doing the same thing, whereas the Lord is going to gather us up one day into that great congregation of the saints who've come down through history, and we will be there worshiping. It's all to do with our own lives. It's all to do with the Lord's grace and favor. So I want us to sing a hymn now. It's one that you won't know. It's one that if you're of a particular personality type, you'll complain about. But if you can't sing it, that's fine. Just read the words, because it touches on the experience of the coming return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us to live lives worthy of that coming return. And I wish I'd been a poet, really, because these words really excite me as we look into the description in the words of the hymn of the coming return of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing, those of us who can. Thank you.